Chapter 51. Against the Shadow. The land tended upward the way Rand went, but fear lent his legs strength, and they ate ground in long strides, tearing his way through flowering bushes and tangles of wild rose, scattering petals, not caring if thorns ripped his clothes or even his flesh. Moraine had stopped screaming. It seemed as if the shrieks had gone on forever, each one more throat-wrenching than the last. But he knew they had lasted only moments altogether. Moments before Aghanor would be on his trail. He knew it would be him that Aghanor followed. He had seen the certainty in the Forsaken's hollow eyes, in that last second before terror whipped his feet to run. The land grew ever steeper, but he scrambled on, pulling himself forward by handfuls of undergrowth, rocks and dirt and leaves spilling down the slope from under his feet, finally crawling on hands and knees when the slant became too great. Ahead, above, it leveled out a little. Panting, he scrabbled his way the last few spans, got to his feet, and stopped, wanting to howl aloud. 10 paces in front of him, the hilltop dropped away sharply. He knew what he would see before he reached it, but he took the steps anyway, each heavier than the one before, hoping there might be some track, a goat path, anything. At the edge, he looked down a sheer 100-foot drop, a stone wall as smooth as planed timber. There has to be some way. I'll go back and find a way around. Go back and... When he turned, Aghanor was there, just reaching the crest. The Forsaken topped the hill without any difficulty, walking up the steep slope as if it were level ground. Deep-sunken eyes burned at him from that drawn parchment face. Somehow it seemed less withered than before, more fleshed, as if Aghanor had fed well on something. Those eyes were fixed on him, yet when Aghanor spoke... it was almost to himself. Baal Zaman will give rewards beyond mortal dreaming for the one who brings you to Sheol Ghul. Yet my dreams have always been beyond those of other men, and I left mortality behind millennia ago. What difference if you serve the great lord of the dark alive or dead? None to the spread of the shadow. Why should I share power with you? Why should I bend knee to you? I, who faced Luz Theron Telamon in the Hall of the Servants itself. I, who threw my might against the Lord of the Morning and met him stroke for stroke. I think not. Rand's mouth dried like dust. His tongue felt as shriveled as Aghanor. The edge of the precipice grated under his heels, stone falling away. He did not dare look back, but he heard the rocks bounding and rebounding from the sheer wall, just as his body would if he moved another inch. It was the first he knew that he had been backing up, away from the Forsaken. His skin crawled until he thought he must see it writhing if he looked, if he could only take his eyes off the Forsaken. There has to be some way to get away from him, some way to escape. There has to be. Some way. Suddenly, he felt something. Saw it, though he knew it was not there to see. A glowing rope ran off from Aghanor, behind him, white like sunlight, seen through the purest cloud, heavier than a blacksmith's arm, lighter than air, connecting the Forsaken to something distant beyond knowing, something within the touch of Rand's hand. The rope pulsed, and with every throb, Aghanor grew stronger, more fully fleshed, a man as tall and strong as himself, a man harder than the warder, more deadly than the blight. Yet beside that shining cord, the Forsaken seemed almost not to exist. The cord was all. It hummed. It sang. It called Rand's soul. One bright finger strand lifted away, drifted, touched him. And he gasped. Light filled him, and heat that should have burned, yet only warmed, as if it took the chill of the grave from his bones. The strand thickened. I have to get away.
No! Aghanor shouted. You shall not have it! It is mine!
Rand did not move, and neither did the Forsaken, yet they fought as surely as if they grappled in the dust. Sweat beaded on Aghanor's face, no longer withered, no longer old, that of a strong man in his prime. Rand pulsed with the beating in the cord, like the heartbeat of the world. It filled his being. Light filled his mind, till only a corner was left for what was himself. He wrapped the void around that nook, sheltered in emptiness.
Away! Mine!
Agnar cried.
Mine!
Warmth built in Rand, the warmth of the sun, the radiance of the sun, bursting, the awful radiance of light, of the light. Away!
Mine!
Flame shot from Agnar's mouth, broke through his eyes like spears of fire, and he screamed. Away! And Rand was no longer on the hilltop. He quivered with the light that suffused him. His mind would not work. Light and heat blinded it. The light. In the midst of the void, the light blinded his mind, stunned him with awe. He stood in a broad mountain pass surrounded by jagged black peaks like the teeth of the Dark One. It was real. He was there. He felt the rocks under his boots, the icy breeze on his face. Battle surrounded him, or the tail end of battle. Armored men on armored horses, shining steel, dusty now, slashed and stabbed at snarling Trollocs, wielding spiked axes and scythe-like swords. Some men fought afoot, their horses down, and barded horses galloped through the fight with empty saddles. Fades moved among them all, night-black cloaks hanging still however their dark mounts galloped, and wherever their light-eating swords swung, men died. Sound beat at Rand, beat at him and bounced from the strangeness that had him by the throat. The clash of steel against steel, the panting and grunting of men and Trollocs striving, the screams of men and Trollocs dying. Over the din, banners waved in dust-filled air. The Black Hawk of Faldara, the White Heart of Shinar, others. And Trolloc banners. In just a little space around him, he saw the horn skull of the Davol, the blood-red trident of the Kobol, the iron fist of the Daimon. Yet it was indeed the tail end of battle, a pausing, as humans and Trollocs alike fell back to regroup. None seemed to notice Rand as they paid a few last strokes and broke away, galloping, or running in a stagger to the ends of the pass. Rand found himself facing the end of the pass where the humans were reforming, pennants stirring beneath gleaming lance points. Wounded men wavered in their saddles, riderless horses reared and galloped. Plainly they could not stand another meeting, yet just as plainly they readied themselves for one final charge. Some of them saw him now. Men stood in their stirrups to point at him. Their shouts came to him as tiny piping. Staggering, he turned. The forces of the Dark One filled the other end of the pass. Bristling black pikes and spear points swelling up onto mountain slopes made blacker still by the great mass of Trollocs that dwarfed the army of Shinar. Fades in hundreds rode across the front of the horde, the fierce, muzzled faces of Trollocs turning away in fear as they passed. Huge bodies pulling back to make way. Overhead, Dregkar wheeled on leathery pinions, shrieks challenging the wind. Halfmen saw him now too, pointed, and Dregkar spun and dove. Two, three, six of them, crying shrilly as they plummeted toward him. He stared at them. Heat filled him. The burning heat of the touched sun. He could see the Dregkar clearly. Soulless eyes in pale men's faces on winged bodies that had nothing of humanity about them. Terrible heat. Crackling heat. From the clear sky, lightning came. Each bolt crisp and sharp, searing his eyes. Each bolt striking a winged black shape. Hunting cries became shrieks of death, and charred forms fell to leave the sky clean again. The heat. The terrible heat of the light. He fell to his knees. He thought he could hear his tears sizzling on his cheeks. No! He clutched at tufts of wiry grass for some hold on reality. The grass burst in flame.
Please, no!
The wind rose with his voice, howled with his voice, roared with his voice down the pass, whipping the flames to a wall of fire that sped away from him and toward the Trolloc host faster than a horse could run. Fire burned into the Trollocs, and the mountains trembled with their screams. Screams almost as loud as the wind and his voice.
It has to end!
He beat at the ground with his fist, and the earth tolled like a gong. He bruised his hands on stony soil, and the earth trembled. Ripples ran through the ground ahead of him in ever-rising waves. Waves of dirt and rock towering over Trollocs and Fades, breaking over them as the mountains shattered under their hooved feet. A boiling mass of flesh and rubble churned across the Trolloc army. What was left standing was still a mighty host, but now no more than twice the human army in numbers, and milling in fright and confusion, The wind died. The screams died. The earth was still. Dust and smoke swirled back down the pass to surround him.
The light blind you, Balzamon! This has to end!
It is not here. It was not Rand's thought, making his skull vibrate. I will take no part. Only the Chosen One can do what must be done, if he will.
Where?
He did not want to say it, but he could not stop himself.
Where?
The haze surrounding him parted, leaving a dome of clear, clean air 10 spans high, walled by billowing smoke and dust. Steps rose before him, each standing alone and unsupported, stretching up into the murk that obscured the sun.
Not here.
Through the mist, as from the far end of the earth, came a cry.
The light wills it!
The ground rumbled with the thunder of hooves as the forces of humankind launched their last charge. Within the void, his mind knew a moment of panic. The charging horsemen could not see him in the dust. Their charge would trample right over him. The greater part of him ignored the shaking ground as a petty thing beneath concern. Dull anger driving his feet, he mounted the first steps.
It has to be ended.
Darkness surrounded him, the utter blackness of total nothing. The steps were still there, hanging in the black, under his feet and ahead. When he looked back, those behind were gone, faded away to nothing, into the nothingness around him. But the cord was yet there, stretching behind him, the glowing line dwindling and vanishing into the distance. It was not so thick as before, but it still pulsed, pumping strength into him, pumping life, filling him with the light. He climbed. It seemed forever that he climbed. Forever and minutes. Time stood still in nothingness. Time ran faster. He climbed until suddenly a door stood before him, its surface rough and splintered and old. A door well remembered. He touched it, and it burst to fragments. While they still fell, he stepped through, bits of shattered wood falling from his shoulders. The chamber, too, was as he remembered, the mad striated sky beyond the balcony, the melted walls, the polished table, the terrible fireplace with its roaring, heatless flames. Some of those faces that made the fireplace, writhing in torment, shrieking in silence, tugged at his memory as if he knew them. But he held the void close, floated within himself in emptiness. He was alone. When he looked at the mirror on the wall, his face was there as clear as if it was him. There is calm in the void.
Yes, Balzamon said from in front of the fireplace. I thought Aganar's greed would overcome him. But it makes no difference in the end. A long search, but ended now. You are here, and I know you.
In the midst of the light, the void drifted, and in the midst of the void floated Rand. He reached for the soil of his home and felt hard rock, unyielding and dry, stone without pity, where only the strong could survive, only those as hard as the mountains. I am tired of running. He could not believe his voice was so calm. Tired of you threatening my friends. I will run no more. Balzamon had a cord, too, he saw. A black cord, thicker by far than his own, so wide it should have dwarfed the human body, yet dwarfed by Balzamon instead. Each pulse along that black vein ate light.
You think it makes any difference whether you run or stay?
The flames of Balzamon's mouth laughed. The faces in the hearth wept at their master's mirth.
You have fled from me many times, and each time I run you down and make you eat your pride with sniveling tears for spice. Many times you have stood and fought, then groveled in defeat, begging mercy. You have this choice, worm, and this choice only. Kneel at my feet and serve me well, and I will give you power above thrones. Or be Tarvalin's puppet fool and scream while you are ground into the dust of time.
Rand shifted, glancing back through the door as if seeking a way to escape. Let the Dark One think that. Beyond the doorway was still the black of nothing, split by the shining thread that ran from his body. And out there, Balzamon's heavier cord ran as well, so black that it stood out in the dark as if against snow. The two cords beat like heart veins in counter time, each against other, the light barely resisting the waves of dark.
"There are other choices," Rand said. "The wheel weaves the pattern, not you. Every trap you've laid for me, I have escaped. I've escaped your fades and Trollocs, escaped your dark friends. I tracked you here and destroyed your army on the way. You do not weave the pattern."
Balzamon's eyes roared like two furnaces. His lips did not move, but Rand thought he heard a curse screamed at Agenor. Then the fires died, and that ordinary human face smiled at him in a way that chilled even through the warmth of the light.
"Other armies can be raised, fool. Armies you have not dreamed of will yet come. And you tracked me, you slug under a rock. Track me! I began the setting of your path the day you were born, a path to lead you to your grave or here. Aiel allowed to flee, and one to live, to speak the words that would echo down the years. Jaehn Farstrider, a hero," he twisted the word to a sneer, "whom I painted like a fool and sent to the Ogier thinking he was free of me. The Black Aja, wriggling like worms on their bellies across the world to search you out. I pull the strings, and the Amarlin seat dances and thinks she controls events."
The void trembled. Hastily Rand firmed it again.
"He knows it all. He could have done. It could be the way he says."
The light warmed the void. Doubt cried out and was stilled, till only the seed remained. He struggled, not knowing whether he wanted to bury the seed or make it grow. The void steadied, smaller than before, and he floated in calm. Balzamon seemed to notice nothing.
"It matters little if I have you alive or dead, except to you, and to what power you might have. You will serve me, or your soul will. But I would rather have you kneel to me alive than dead. A single fist of Trolloc sent to your village when I could have sent 1,000. One dark friend to face you where 100 could have come on you asleep. And you, fool, you don't even know them all. Neither those ahead nor those behind, nor those by your side. You are mine, have always been mine, my dog on a leash. And I brought you here to kneel to your master or die and let your soul kneel."
"I deny you. You have no power over me, and I will not kneel to you alive or dead."
"Look," Balzamon said. "Look."
Unwilling, Rand yet turned his head. Egwene stood there, and Nynaeve, pale and frightened, with flowers in their hair. And another woman, little older than the Wisdom, dark-eyed and beautiful, clothed in a Two Rivers dress, bright blossoms embroidered round the neck.
"Mother?"
he breathed, and she smiled, a hopeless smile. His mother's smile.
"No, my mother is dead, and the other two are safe away from here. I deny you."
Egwene and Nynaeve blurred, became wafting mist, dissipated. Kariel Thor still stood there, her eyes big with fear.
"She, at least," Balzamon said, "is mine to do with as I will."
Rand shook his head.
"I deny you."
He had to force the words out.
"She is dead and safe from you in the light."
His mother's lips trembled. Tears trickled down her cheeks. Each one burned him like acid.
"The Lord of the Grave is stronger than he once was, my son," she said. "His reach is longer. The Father of Lies has a honeyed tongue for unwary souls. My son, my only darling son. I would spare you if I could, but he is my master now. His whim, the law of my existence. I can but obey him and grovel for his favor. Only you can free me. Please, my son, please help me. Help me. Help me. Please."
The wail ripped out of her as barefaced fades, pale and eyeless, closed round. Her clothes ripped away in their bloodless hands, hands that wielded pincers and clamps and things that stung and burned and whipped against her naked flesh. Her scream would not end. Rand's scream echoed hers. The void boiled in his mind. His sword was in his hand. Not the Heron Mark blade, but a blade of light, a blade of the light. Even as he raised it, a fiery white bolt shot from the point as if the blade itself had reached out. It touched the nearest fade, and the blinding incandescence filled the chamber, shining through the half-men like a candle through paper, burning through them, blinding his eyes to the scene. From the midst of the brilliance, he heard a whisper.
"Thank you, my son. The light. The blessed light."
The flash faded, and he was alone in the chamber with Baalzamon. Baalzamon's eyes burned like the pit of doom, but he shied back from the sword as if it truly were the light itself.
"Fool! You will destroy yourself. You cannot wield it so. Not yet. Not until I teach you."
"It is ended," Rand said, and he swung the sword at Balzamon's black cord. Balzamon screamed as the sword fell, screamed till the stone walls trembled, and the endless howl redoubled as the blade of light severed the cord. The cut ends rebounded apart as if they had been under tension. The end stretching into the nothingness outside began to shrivel as it sprang away. The other whipped back into Balzamon, hurling him against the fireplace. There was silent laughter in the soundless shrieks of the tortured faces. The walls shivered and cracked. The floor heaved, and chunks of stone crashed to the floor from the ceiling. As all broke apart around him, Rand pointed the sword at Balzamon's heart.
"It is ended!"
Light lanced from the blade, coruscating in a shower of fiery sparks like droplets of molten white metal. Wailing, Balzamon threw up his arms in a vain effort to shield himself. Flames shrieked in his eyes, joining with other flames as the stone ignited. The stone of the cracking walls, the stone of the pitching floor, the stone showering from the ceiling. Rand felt the bright thread attached to him thinning, till only the glow itself remained, but he strained harder, not knowing what he did or how, only that this had to be ended. It has to be ended. Fire filled the chamber, a solid flame. He could see Balzamon withering like a leaf, hear him howling, feel the shrieks grating on his bones. The flame became pure white light, brighter than the sun. Then the last flicker of the thread was gone, and he was falling through endless black and Balzamon's fading howl. Something struck him with tremendous force, turning him to jelly, and the jelly shook and screamed from the fire raging inside. The hungry cold, burning without end.